And you all called me crazy for thinking CM Punk and Randy Orton would return in the same night. You said they'll never do it. They'll never do it. I saw the comments. I saw whether it was on YouTube, TikTok. I'm not here to say I was right. I'm not here to say I told you so, but I'm going to give you a little bit of that. Because Survivor Series 2023 marks one of the most legendary nights in WWE history. And you got one person and one person only to thank for it. And that is the game, Triple H. And before we even talk about Survivor Series, I would just like to publicly thank Jack Perry for being, what did CM Punk refer to Hangman Page as? An empty-headed, dumb f***. Excuse my language. I would just like to thank Jack Perry for using real glass at All In a couple of months ago. Because now CM Punk is back in World Wrestling Entertainment. Let's be honest. Where he belongs, and what a good night it was to be watching Survivor Series. Just as we do in these review videos, we're gonna jump around a little bit and just break everything down in my own way. You guys know I like to talk about the moments, the stories, not necessarily the match-by-match, move-by-move things that, you know, a lot of people do out there, which is fine. I'm just not that guy. But let's just talk about the main event first, because all night long, we were building up to a question. Is Randy Orton here? Where's Randy Orton? They haven't seen Randy Orton all day. And I honestly was thinking about this earlier in the week, if they were going to do a Kevin Owens in 2019 like surprise for Randy Orton. Like, even though we knew Orton was coming, don't send him out originally, just wait until it's time for him to actually enter the matchup, then his music hits, get the big pop and whatnot, and really create the moment for Orton instead of just him coming out and then going directly into the shark cage. And that's basically exactly what they did. They built up the tension, which is with Randy Orton even here, is he coming? Cody Rhodes was under pressure and Randy Orton came through in the end. And I know CM Punk, I'm super ecstatic about CM Punk, we're gonna talk all about it, but Randy Orton feels so good for him to be back on WWE television, man. I've said it in my prediction video, multiple videos, man, since I've been back watching WWE week to week, not missing a week since the end of July 2022 when Triple H took over creative, Randy Orton has been gone that entire time. He is dearly missed, was dearly missed, because tonight marks the return of Randy Orton. And man, oh man, did he look like a million bucks out there. Looked freaking jack, hitting all the signature maneuvers, the DDT. Dominic Mysterio ate a great RKO by the Viper. And of course, one of the closing moments of the War Games matchup, JD McDonagh soaring through the skies off the cage and Randy Orton catching him with a RKO. Absolutely sick spot. I am so pumped that Randy Orton is back, especially because they showed to, I would say alluded to it a little bit in the main event. Randy Orton for a second there had his sights on hitting an RKO on Jey Uso. Was he actually going to do it? We don't know. Or was he just playing mind games, letting Jey Uso know that he did not forget? There is a very interesting situation there. And I've seen a lot of comments throughout the week talking about Randy Orton. He should turn heel tonight at Survivor Series. He should turn on Jey. He should turn on Cody, costing the matchup. I thought that was an absolutely ridiculous idea. Listen, I'm down for an Orton heel turn eventually, but doing it right off the bat when everybody wanted to cheer him would have been ridiculous. It's like trying to get people to cheer Edge, you know, a year and a half ago. People just didn't want to do it, and people weren't going to want to boo Randy Orton. Did I say cheer Edge? I meant boo Edge. People just weren't going to want to boo Randy Orton night one, and especially right now, why rush a Orton versus Jey program or an Orton versus Cody program? I'm not saying we won't see moments and allude to these feuds possibly happening down the line on Monday Night Raw, but I do not want to see Randy Orton be a time killer feud for Jey or Cody leading up to their inevitable matches at WrestleMania, which of course are Jey and Jimmy and Cody versus Roman. Save that heel Randy Orton run versus Cody Rhodes for the WWE Championship for after WrestleMania, man. That's a match that could main event SummerSlam next year. There's no rush for that. I'm glad we didn't get some Orton heel turn swerve tonight. He just came out there, had that little tease with Jey, did his signature stuff, all he needed to do to remind everybody that he is back. Randy Orton looked awesome tonight in the main event. And might I say, man, like, I think this may have been my personal favorite War Games matchup that we've gotten in the WWE so far, and that includes the ones in NXT, which it's been a few years since I've watched those, so it's maybe a little unfair to compare, but definitely, like, just comparing it to last year, even though I thought the Bloodline versus the Brawling Brutes, McIntyre and Owens last year was great, there was just something about this Judgment Day and McIntyre versus Raw Babyface All-Star lineup that I think really flowed good throughout this matchup, man. And this has been the story. These intertwining stories have been the main focus on Monday Night Raw since what, June, May even? Like, this has been coming for months. This has been the culmination to what we have witnessed on Raw for month after month regarding the World Championship, the Tag Team Championships, McIntyre, JD McDonagh, all these intertwined stories led to tonight. And I thought this matchup flowed great, man, from Rollins and Balor kicking it off all the way to the end with Randy Orton. There were so many good little spots in there. Everybody just looked great in this matchup. I honestly, maybe it's just, you know, because it was just the heat of the moment, Orton coming back, still the anticipation of is CM Punk going to show up? Maybe that obviously added a little bit of layer onto this matchup, but I think this was great, man. It's been, again, some years since I watched those NXT War Games matches, but in just comparison to last year, I think this may have been my favorite part. I'm not saying it was the best one, but my personal favorite men's War Games matchup, really just War Games in general, War Games matchup that we've gotten in the WWE so far, man. It was a lot of fun. Those couple spots at the end that I talked about with Randy Orton were great. And even, I almost forgot to mention, before Randy Orton came out, them teasing Rhea Ripley with the Money in the Bank briefcase about to cash in for Damian Priest. Priest was going to try to cash in the middle of the matchup. That was a fantastic Money in the Bank tease, man. We have not gotten something like that in quite some time. Priest has had, you know, teased Money in the Bank cash-ins, but to do it in the middle of the War Games matchup was very creative. I really like that. And then Randy Orton's entrance, putting that to a stop. Great stuff there. Whoever came up with that idea, hats off to you. And then, of course, we already talked about it, but Cody Rhodes, Seth Rollins, Jey Uso, Sami Zayn, and Randy Orton picking up the victory inside War Games. And again, this is what I expected. This is what I talked about in my prediction video. I predicted the Judgment Day to lose because I do think, even though it's not going to happen overnight, I do think by WrestleMania, we will see a true split in the Judgment Day. And it might just be Damian Priest being exiled and the rest of them staying together. But I do see something like that. Correct me if I'm wrong, but was Priest, I believe Priest was the one pinned actually in War Games, now that I'm thinking about it. So that itself could play in to a possible split down the line. Priest still has the briefcase. I do see a Judgment Day split coming in the next few months, and I do see at least Priest versus Balor at WrestleMania. Whether they get McDonagh involved and Dominic is a whole nother story, but I do see that matchup happening at Mania, and I think the result of tonight's matchup definitely laid the groundwork for it. And of course, we don't have a December premium live event, so all roads from now lead to the Royal Rumble at the end of January. We have over 2 months. I believe the Rumble is January 27th, so technically over 2 months until we get to Tampa, Florida in the Royal Rumble. So it's going to be very interesting to see how a somewhat clean slate on Monday Night Raw is going to play out with storylines heading into the Rumble. I'm really interested to see who's going to step up to fight Seth Rollins for the World Heavyweight Championship. After we got the end of Survivor Series, I think the obvious matchup is Seth Rollins versus CM Punk for the World Championship on WrestleMania Saturday. But again, that's WrestleMania. Who is Rollins going to fight at the Royal Rumble Elimination Chamber? Maybe we're going to see him and Randy Orton go at it. I would love to see it. Interesting thing is, though, Randy Orton has been gone so long, he's technically not a part of either roster. And if I had to pick one, I would go Orton versus Roman Reigns over on SmackDown. So remains to be seen who's going to step up for the World Championship. But I'll tell you what, man, after the ending of War Games, after this clean slate, Orton back, and of course, CM Punk, which I'm going to talk about in a second, I would not be surprised. And I really don't care about ratings. I'm sure a lot of people don't. A lot of people do, of course. I would not be surprised if Monday Night Raw is one of the biggest ratings in the history of the show, but certainly in the last however many years, man. You got the first one after War Games, Randy Orton probably, I assume, going to be on the show. Obviously, CM Punk going to be on the show. Monday Night Raw going to be through the roof on Monday night. But of course, and listen, I don't mean to pat myself on the back, but this is exactly what I said I think was going to happen if CM Punk was going to return. We get the wide shot, the baby faces in the end raising their hands, they flash the copyright logo on the screen, they flash the press conference coming up next, which is going to be interesting if CM Punk's on that thing. We're going to have to check that out. They make you wait, and boom, CM Punk's music hits. And for the first time since January 2014, nearly a decade, CM Punk is back in World Wrestling Entertainment. people called me crazy for saying they ain't gonna give us Orton and Punk in the same night, and I said, why freaking not? We got Randy Orton, no bait and switch. People were rumoring throughout today that they were gonna take Orton out and put LA Knight in there, which I was like, that's completely ridiculous. You're gonna over LA Knight's momentum if you do that. That's a whole nother conversation. They gave us Orton, and then they gave us CM Punk. They didn't show us the reaction, really, of the guys in the ring. Punk just stayed at the top of the entranceway, which, by the way, had the small entrance all weekend, which I love. Just adds an extra vibe to the show. And Chicago was fired up, man. There were some CM Punk chants throughout the night. Luckily, they didn't really overtake anything, especially in the main event. There was a good chunk of CM Punk chants throughout it, but the action, I think, was just that good that the crowd kind of got distracted from it. They were hyped up for Sammy, hyped up for Moose. Like, it was a great crowd in Chicago. But they were hyped up, man. And I don't even know what else to say. Like, CM Punk, we've been talking about his return to WWE ever since he got fired from AEW. And listen, man, I don't mean to raid on AEW's parade, but I have named issue after issue after issue with that company over the last few months. And my issues might not be your issues. You might love AEW, and that's all fine and dandy. I want AEW to be great. I'll be tuning in December the 6th if Adam Copeland and Christian Cage have that matchup in Montreal. I'll be tuning in. But AEW's loss, certainly CM Punk's gain. And I just, again, want to publicly thank Jack Perry for being an idiot, because without him, none of this may have been possible. CM Punk is officially, in my opinion, back home in the WWE, and I think he is just a better fit at this stage in his career for the WWE. And when CM Punk sits down in that ring on Monday night with a pipe bomb in his hand, my oh my, are eyes going to be glued to the USA Network. And whatever Punk's gonna say, who's gonna inevitably interrupt him, who's Punk's first match gonna be, is it gonna be Nakamura, are they gonna throw out something with Cody or the Judgment Day? Like, I don't know, man, but Monday Night Raw, it just got must-see if it wasn't already. And especially, like, December is usually a cool-off period for WWE, like, heading out of Survivor Series, going into the Rumble, even if there was a December premium live event, like, a few years ago. But not right now, man. Monday Night Raw is going to be red hot. There's nothing else to say. CM Punk's back, and I'm ecstatic for it. But let's go ahead and jump to the women's War Games matchup. We had Damage Control, Asuka, Bayley, Io Sky, and Kairi Sane taking on Bianca Belair, Charlotte Flair, Shotzi, and Becky Lynch. And I gotta be honest, man, I know I said the men's War Games matchup, probably my favorite War Games matchup in the WWE thus far. This specifically, though, might have been my favorite women's one. And I'm definitely forgetting some of the women's ones that happened in NXT. Like, I can't even remember all the participants on teams off the top of my head, especially like 2020, 2021, those years are a blur for me in NXT. I don't know what the hell was going on. Not in a bad way. I just like don't really remember too much about it. But I loved this women's War Games matchup, man. Especially the ending stretch. The last like 10 to 12 minutes was kick-ass in this matchup. And I gotta give my hat to Shotzi, who really shined in this matchup, I thought. Nailed all her spots when a couple of years ago people were bashing Shotzi for being like this botch monster inside of the ring. I remember some of the tweets. People used to absolutely belittle Shotzi on social media. I'm glad she went out there tonight and, in my opinion, killed it. We had Charlotte Flair, who I just said on Twitter last night while watching SmackDown, has been much more enjoyable in 2023. Triple H writing a babyface turn. I have enjoyed Charlotte more this year, ever since she returned at the end of last year. Probably the most that I've had since NXT. Like, there's just something more interesting about Charlotte, and they're just having better matches and this, that, and the third. Maybe it's just me. I'm not trying to shill here, but like, I think she's doing great. And then tonight she does a moonsault off the top of the cage, lands actually great, because sometimes Charlotte doesn't really hit her moonsaults. I will give her that knock, but looked awesome. And then my favorite part of this matchup, when we talked about it in the prediction video, I was like, Bayley to take the pinfall, and that'll start her getting kicked out of Damage Control. And not only did she take the pinfall, but she got her ass kicked by everybody. All four women hit a move on Bayley. I forget exactly what. I think Shotzi might have hit, or this might have been earlier, hit the sliced bread in the corner. Charlotte might have hit a spear. I forget the order of things, but Bianca hit a gnarly looking KOD on Bailey, and it looked like she landed right on her face. It was gnarly, and Bailey was all kinds of dazed and confused. They set up a table. Becky Lynch was waiting for her on the top. Manhandle slam. They absolutely murdered Bailey in the end of this thing, and I think it was just perfect storytelling. The babyfaces finally get that comeuppance over damage control. Now maybe one or two of them. Maybe I would love to see a Shotzi versus Io Sky still in the future. I'm sure somebody will try to challenge Io for the title in the near future. But the bigger stories, in my opinion, coming out of the Women's War Games matchup, Becky Lynch still on top. Now I think she makes her way back to Monday Night Raw, continues to build momentum as one of the top women who possibly win the Royal Rumble match 2 months from now, and definitely, no matter what, challenge Rhea Ripley for the championship at WrestleMania. And then on the SmackDown side of things, I do think we get Bianca Belair versus Charlotte at WrestleMania, and I gotta be honest, at this point, I think they're gonna go the route I've been saying they should go, and that's non-title. I think you can sell that match without the championship, and I think a damage control explosion matchup is the way to go for the WWE Women's Championship, and that being Bayley versus Io Sky. Sometime in December, damage control kicks Bayley out of the group, especially after she was the one who lost in the match in War Games. Bayley possibly going to show up in the Rumble match and win the thing and go on to challenge Io Sky for the title at WrestleMania. Would love to see that. And then as for Asuka and Kairi Sane, you got your Kabuki Warriors back together, and they should absolutely just be destroying whatever is there of the women's tag team division and becoming champions, at least either in the lead up or at WrestleMania itself. I'm very excited for the post-match of this Women's War Games and what's to come on SmackDown and Monday Night Raw for Becky Lynch, but this was a great matchup, man. My personal favorite Women's War Games matchup there has been. And then we got the rest of the undercard here, which nothing overstayed its welcome. And this was a nice flowing show, man. Nothing, it started at 8:00, just went off the air at 11. And this whole thing really flew by. And especially these undercard matches, again, didn't overstay their welcome. All had purpose, all had meaning, and all delivered, in my opinion. We had the Intercontinental Championship, Gunther versus The Miz. This was a harmless matchup. A lot of people were like, they're giving Gunther The Miz at Survivor Series, and I said it in my prediction video. I was like, I think this could be a sleeper matchup, and I'm not saying it was some knockdown, drag out, barn burner of a match, but it was definitely good. Miz got some shine in it, looked good, and I just think it was harmless. Gunther looked strong, retaining the Intercontinental Championship after Miz was beaten down on his legs, really trying to chop down the big man in the early part of the matchup, and Gunther just overpowered him, man, retained the Intercontinental Championship, and with CM Punk back now, and definitely in my eyes solidified as him and Rollins for WrestleMania, the match to go for, Gunther should absolutely go into WrestleMania as the Intercontinental Champion. Well, don't let me say that. Either Gunther should go into WrestleMania as the champion and defend it against a Chad Gable or fill in the blank at that show, or if he's going to fight Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania, I would personally have Gunther be dethroned inside the Elimination Chamber, possibly screwed over by Lesnar after they already set up some previous beef, and then he goes into a non-title match with Lesnar at Mania and somebody else gets the Intercontinental Championship. But right now, Gunther just staying with that Intercontinental title, continue to roll over opponents. I'm all fine with that, man. I would not be surprised, if we see a matchup with Ivar in the near future, just as a one-off on Monday Night Raw. Maybe he'll defend it at the Rumble. All remains to be seen, but Gunther's IC title reign rolls on at Survivor Series. Next up, we got Santos Escobar versus Dragon Lee, not Carlito. They took Carlito out of this matchup on SmackDown around an injury angle, which I was a little disappointed about because I was really looking forward to seeing Carlito in this match and having that first premium live event singles matchup. And what did he say on SmackDown? 13, 14 years, whatever it was. But in his place, we got Dragon Lee. So kind of a pro and con there. Like, con, Carlito's not going to be in, but pro, Dragon Lee's going to be in. And they've been putting a lot of stock in the Dragon Lee on SmackDown, man. Every week, this guy's got a video package. They're hyping him up, reminding people that Rey Mysterio dubbed this guy the future of Lucha Libre. He's pretty much been on a winning streak. I don't think he's lost. I think he lost that tag match with him and Cameron Grimes versus Theory and Waller. Did that happen? Am I remembering that correctly? So it's not like he's been undefeated necessarily, but he goes into this matchup with Santos Escobar as the replacement for Carlito that they set up on SmackDown. And this was great matchup, man. Wikipedia says it was only 7 minutes, so just under eight, which it felt like that. I wish it would have got a little bit more time. However, this is certainly a match that I don't think is going to be a one-off. I can absolutely see them running this back on SmackDown in the near future. But as for Survivor Series, man, I really enjoyed this match. It was short, sweet, to the point. Chicago was loving it, which I really appreciated from the Chicago crowd, because, you know, I really love Santos Escobar. I love Dragon Lee as well. And I wanted this match to have that big fight feel, if you know what I mean. And Chicago was into it, man. Chanting for Dragon Lee. Chanting asshole at Santos Escobar when he was trying to rip the mask of Dragon Lee. And then moments after, got an FU Santos chant. I was like, let's freaking go. This heel turn for Escobar going well so far. And as I'm watching this matchup, I'm going like, this almost reminds me, not in Santos Escobar's sense, but in Dragon Lee's sense, as Rey Mysterio's first pay-per-view against Kurt Angle, SummerSlam 2002, where Rey went into that matchup, lost, but came out a bigger star because of it, because he had built up, had been built up in such a great way ever since his debut on SmackDown. May have lost in that match, but had an amazing performance and just went on to become a bigger star on SmackDown. That's how I felt about Dragon Lee here. Just really has a lot of steam behind him on SmackDown right now. May have lost in this match, but put on a great showing, and I think he's going to be looked at that much better on SmackDown. So I'm really excited about that. And Santos Escobar getting that established victory as a heel that I think he needed to truly solidify and kick off this heel run. Great stuff. Really looking forward to seeing what's going to be the next chapter in this LWO story. There's been rumors all weekend that Angel Garza and Humberto Carrillo may be aligning themselves with Escobar in the near future, which I am ecstatic about because I love those guys. I just love, you know, a lot of the Latino talent. I think they're incredible. And I'd be really happy to see those guys on television. So remains to be seen if that's going to happen. But Escobar defeating Dragon Lee at Survivor Series. And then, of course, we had the WWE Women's World Championship matchup. Rhea Ripley defending against Zoe Stark. And another matchup that I said could be a sleeper matchup, man, and I think could be a pretty kick-ass match. And also, as expected, Zoe Stark, just like The Miz, didn't stand a chance at winning this matchup, but still put up a good fight in defeat. Zoe looked good throughout this, even though Rhea Ripley controlled the majority. And honestly, man, I was not surprised that the crowd was booing Zoe Stark and cheering for Rhea Ripley. I said it months ago on Twitter, and I still stand by this. Eventually, I do think we will get to the point where the crowd is going to turn Rhea Ripley babyface, just like they basically did for Seth Rollins last year. Rollins just got so over as a good guy while being a heel that it turned him babyface. I'm not saying it's going to happen anytime soon, but I do see that happening eventually, whether it's into the lead up of WrestleMania, post-WrestleMania, you know, whatever it's going to be. Eventually, Rhea is going to get to that point where she's going to be the hottest babyface in the women's division. Guarantee it. But a great effort by both of these women here. It was a solid matchup. Wasn't expecting like a knockdown dragout matchup, but did think it could be a sleeper on the card. And that's exactly what it was. Rhea Ripley retained the championship by no surprise there. Very interested to see who's going to step up and fight her next. She definitely has some women she can face in the Raw Women's Division, but nobody really that has a chance at beating her. I don't see Rhea Ripley losing that title anytime soon. I said it earlier, I'll say it again, her and Becky Lynch is the match for WrestleMania 40, and I even think when we get there, there's a chance Rhea Ripley retains the title, which, speaking right now, months out, is probably what I would do, is have Rhea Ripley defeat Becky Lynch at WrestleMania. When we get to April, we'll talk again if that even is the matchup. But as for Survivor Series, Ripley defeats Zoe Stark to retain the Women's World Championship. And that was Survivor Series, man. A kick-ass show. Probably one of my favorite premium live events of 2023. And certainly a banger way to end 2023 premium live events. You know, we still have December to go. I'm hoping for, you know, a good stretch to end this year for WWE and some early build to the Royal Rumble to really get us hyped for that show in January, even though I don't expect too much build because it is only December we are leading into. But I'm really pumped up on the WWE right now, man. I cannot wait for Monday Night Raw. Gonna be a must-see show on Monday with the Aftermath 2 Survivor Series. And once more, y'all called me crazy for saying Randy Orton and CM Punk were to come back in the same nights. Not necessarily, like, there were some YouTube comments, there were some Instagram comments and TikTok comments. I saw people on Twitter not even responding to me, but just saying out loud, like, yeah, no way Orton and Punk will come back in the same night. And look at this. Look at Crown Triple H, the King of Kings. CM Punk is back in the WWE, and Survivor Series 2023 will go down in the history books. And all I could say to finish this is I can't believe I'm going to be there. I was there for CM Punk's last WrestleMania at WrestleMania 29, and now I'm going to be there for his first Mania back, WrestleMania 40. Give me Punk versus Rollins, World Heavyweight Championship, WrestleMania Saturday. Until next time, guys, definitely hit the like button and subscribe down below, and go follow me across all social medias at Noah Nation Vlogs. Definitely, we're going to be breaking down a lot of this stuff this coming week, talking more about Punk, Rollins, etc. So stay tuned to the channel. Hope you guys enjoyed this video. I'll see you guys in the next one. Peace.